So here we are again. Living a fulfilled life, I expect every dream to be fulfilled. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Living a fulfilled life, I expect every dream to be fulfilled. Now we could rephrase that. Living a fulfilled life, every dream is fulfilled. How do we live a fulfilled life? People would love to live a fulfilled life. They love to have all of their dreams fulfilled. They love to have all of their dreams manifest. They love to have all their dreams revealed. Whatever those dreams are, they love to have them done. But why is it that they're not done? Why is it those dreams are not done? Those dreams are not done for the simple reason that we think they're not done. And then they're not done. Have you ever had a dream? You say, oh, sure I have. Everybody has a dream. But really, have you ever had a dream? Were you ever a little child? And your mommy and daddy were getting a divorce. And you thought to yourself, oh, why do they have to get a divorce, you know? Having a mommy and a daddy, the ones that I was born with, is so nice. It's so nice. Why don't they stay married? Why don't they stay together? That's so rotten that they're moving apart, you know. And I love mommy and I love daddy and I love them together, you know. Why don't they love each other? And then the thought comes, the dream fulfilled. My dream is that mommy and daddy love each other, and we are a loving family, and we're all living together in a happy family. Now, that's a terrible dream. That's an impossible dream. That's a dream where the child is forcing something upon his life, forcing something upon the world. No, he isn't. He's just going back to the original purity and integrity of the relationship of his parents. He is seeing his parents as loving parents who love each other and love the family and enjoy each other. Now, if we do with our family like we do with the Pope, then we don't have a chance. We don't have a chance in hell. Everybody in the world, except me and a few others, were saying, let the Pope die peacefully. I said, long live the Pope. Long may he live for hundreds of years, if so be it, that he reign over his domain and be a fantastic man that he is, you know. I think he's only 88 or something like that, wasn't he? 84? Just a young man. And you see, everybody else, just because he was sick, says, die, die, die. That's so idiotic. If a little child is sick, you don't say, die, die, die. You know he's got a long life ahead of him. And so you say, live, live, live. And if daddy and mommy are sick, you don't want them to die. You say, live, live, live. And your brothers and sisters or aunts and uncles and people in your family, you know. Now, grandma and grandpa, oh, they're over the hill. They're ready to die. Let's clean the earth of all the grandma and grandpas. What a silly attitude, and what an antique and archaic attitude. Since the 1950s, the lifespan of humanity has been 30 years longer. 30 years longer. Now, why don't we start exercising that and enjoying it? So, if a little child says of his mother and dad that, I see my mom and dad as a happily married couple to each other. I see my mom and dad as a happily married couple to each other and a happy mommy and daddy to me or us, the children. I see all in divine order. Woo-wee! I see all in divine order. Now, why did mommy and daddy decide to get a divorce? Well, they just started thinking different thoughts. They just started acting in different ways and expecting different things out of themselves and out of each other. Instead of looking at each other and seeing the person they married and say, wow, She's still there. He's still there. I haven't paid attention to it. Yep. Yep. And what the heck? Why bust up a marriage when all you have to do is learn how to fall in love again? And you fall in love with each other again, and your marriage is more sound than ever. But it's not that because you were starting to separate that it was less sound, or that because after you did that, then you came together with more sound. It was more sound because you went back to your original purity and integrity, your original love that you had for one another. Now, when a child says these things for his parents, he's a very blessed child, someone very special, very wonderful. I had a dream last night, and in the dream, I was an observer, as we always are. I was an observer, and it was in a great concert. And this concert was a symphonic concert in some grand symphonic hall with a total orchestra and a director and tails and all the good stuff, you know. And so, here's this man. He plays the saxophone or something like that. And all of a sudden, he sees something. He sees a little red hat on the edge of the stage. And he thinks to himself, uh-oh. Because in his heart, he knows, where there's a red hat, there's a red child. There's a child wearing the red clothing. And he jumps up from his stool, goes down to the front of the stage, the orchestra playing madly away, and he reaches over the edge, and here's a little child whose dress had caught on a sliver of the stage, next to the stage. She was just dangling there, and just swinging there, and just happy as could be, and, wasn't excited or hurt in any way, but fell over, and this sliver caught her dress and held her there. And he reached down, and he thought to himself, oh, my God, because it was quite a drop if the child had fallen. And he picked up the child, and he cuddled the child, and he said, And then he shouted, stop! And the music stopped, because he knew the parents of that child were worried to death where that child was. And he shouted, I have found the little girl in red. And the director of the theater started coming out there and saying, what's going on? Why did the music stop in the middle of the event here, you know? And so then he saw that. And then behind him came the mother and father who had been searching for the little girl, because they knew somewhere she was in the theater. And when they looked up there, just a total feeling of togetherness and oneness and unitedness. And they came down the aisle, and they came up on the stage and got their child, and they went away. And then the musician went back to his place on the stage, and he goes like this, I'm with the show. And so the director, taps the podium and says, okay, let's go back to stanza 14. And then they continued playing. But you see, what was the important thing about that dream? The important thing about that dream was that that child's welfare was more important than an entire theater filled with, the opera house filled with participants paying good money to see the opera, to see the music, to hear the symphony. And even the director was standing up there, what the hell is this, And everybody else thinking, why is this person being sort of strange, going over to the edge there? And when they found out what happened, everybody's heart was just very emotional. Everybody was filled with joy that the child that they didn't even know was lost was found. And you see, this tells us, not the emotional thing so much, that's good too, but it tells us that our real interest is in the welfare of one another. It's in the welfare of even a little child. Jesus said a sparrow can fall, but a little child can fall, and the divine knows it. Okay, now, what are you going to do in your life? Are you going to let the emotion of the experience get you, or are you going to let the context of the experience, that child and its parents, united an entire theater audience? It united the director and the musicians who would stop forever to protect the child. How can we teach ourselves and our families that our families are really worthwhile, that our mummies and daddies are really worthwhile, and that our children are really worthwhile, and that to spend more time with them is worthwhile? Some families say, well, we do. Yeah, sure. You take them where you want to go. Did you ever go where they wanted to go? Did you ever go where the kids wanted to go? Did you get down on the floor and play with your kids when you came home from work? Or during the day, did you take time to play with the dog, to pull on the pull things with the dog, and just take a few minutes, just take 5-10 minutes? And what happens to the dog? He says, wow, I got the best house. You see, what makes the difference, what makes our dreams fulfilled, is when we can put our whole self into it and realize that every aspect of it is wonderful and important. And that it's not what we get out of it. It's the principle being fulfilled of harmony, happiness, joy, right action. People fall in love not just for sex. People fall in love because they like to be with each other. They feel an honor to be with each other. They feel an honor to share with each other all the many things that they share. And this doesn't start the moment they get married or before they get married. It starts because that's the kind of people they are. They are people who enjoy being with other people. So when we say their dreams can be fulfilled, their dreams are fulfilled when they start out first by liking themselves. And then they'll surround themselves with people who like them. And they'll surround themselves with people who are a joy to be with. And when they surround themselves with people who are a joy to be with, they are happy. And they have happy marriages and happy families. If we took 100 families at random, how many of these families would be sharing with one another as they go home in the evening? How many of these families would do things for the kids, would go to the kids' events at school and things like that? How many fathers and mothers would want to be there without complaining, oh darn, you know? But they delight in the fact that they're involved in their children's programs. How many families do that? Well, the happy families do that, and the fulfilled families. And we can be happy and fulfilled when we fulfill the pledge that we have made to ourselves when we came on this planet Earth, to be ourselves and have fun. And if we are ourselves, then we're not living up to what other people expect of us. We're not being on the PTA. We're not being in the Parent Teachers Association meeting. We're not being on the school board. We're not being city government. We're not doing the for what other people think of us. But because we have some ideas we'd like to share, and the best way to share them is to be involved in the organizations that are carrying them out. And this is a beautiful thing. There was an article in a magazine, and it's about in Florida. In Florida, they have a law that says everyone over a certain age, 70 or 80, must go in annually to the Department of Motor Vehicle Department and have their eyes checked. Must go in annually, because so many people, when they get older, they lose peripheral vision, they lose focus, and if the sign is a little fuzzy that they're looking at on the street, it takes them 2 or 3 seconds to read what it says. Meanwhile, their eyes have been off the road for 2 or 3 seconds, and they could have, and do have problems. Well, the state of Florida has made that a law through the Association for Retired People, and they're very strong on it, and they say that it's quite likely it'll go across the United States, which is true. But they shouldn't just do that to elderly people. They should do that to all people. In the aeronautic society, your pilot's license is good forever, but it's only valid with a valid medical, showing that you have had a medical examination in the past, how many years, a year, two or three, 2 years, every 2 years, to make sure that you are in a healthy condition to fly an airplane. Well, now, driving a car is equally as important. I don't say you should have a medical examination for driving a car, although that wouldn't hurt, but at least you should have an eye exam. You just pop in, pop out, get the eye exam, and make sure. And that's very important. That's very important. And one of the main reasons that people drive and do not see the signs and so forth is vanity. You know what vanity is? Vanity, I don't want to wear glasses. I don't need my glasses. I don't need this and that. Well, if you need your glasses to drive for your distance seeing, you better wear them. And you see, when you start doing that, you're living a fulfilled life, and you can expect every dream to be fulfilled in your life. There's no reason why people cannot have perfect eyes, perfect ears, perfect bodies, perfect marriages, perfect relationships, if they put the causes in motion. And the causes in motion is a very definite thing. You say, well, why is it some of these great leaders and the great teachers and the great gurus, you know, wear glasses and things like that? You know, like the Dalai Lama, you know, poor guy, got to have glasses. Well, you don't say that. You say, that's an area he has not given much attention to, so he wears glasses. Can you say that every day you spend 2, 3, 4 hours saying, I have perfect eyesight, I have perfect eyesight? Nonsense. You say, 10 minutes a day, I like me. Nonsense. That would be good if you did. Do you say, every day, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body at least a half an hour?
Yeah.
If you did, wow! Yeah. And expect your dreams to come true, to be fulfilled. If you are willing to change your attitude from an attitude that says, they're not fulfilled, to that they're fulfilled. That's all it takes. Kind of fun, isn't it?
Yes.
Kind of important. And that's the way it is. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.